The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Have you got game? Got game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590 and fan590.com.
This is Got Game, a show by gamers for gamers right here on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Each and every week, we bring you the latest in video game news, reviews, and interviews. We're gearing up for a third tour of duty with the COG in Gears of War 3. We've got 10 copies of the new gender-conscious NHL 12 to give away. More details emerge from NBA 2K12 and NBA Jam on Fire Edition, while we try to find a wingman for Calhoun in an upcoming open-wheel racer. We've also got reviews of Dead Island, Gunstringer, and Space Marine.
Have you got game?
The Lowdown. This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I am Zach Cooper, joined as always by Momin Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, and Christine Chubbitt. It feels weird to go back in the can and not do a live show, and so much fun last week.
True.
Agreed.
But we do have more NHL 12 stuff to talk about right off the bat, and you can be a girl in NHL 12. I didn't mention this in the review, and really it all boils down to the hard work of a 14-year-old named Lexi Peters from Buffalo. So apparently Lexi wrote into EA Sports a little while ago about, you know, why there are no female hockey players in EA's NHL franchise, and that letter eventually got to lead producer David Littman, who told the Globe and Mail that Lexi's letter was a wake-up call to them, and that female gamers are, you know, a growing audience playing their NHL game that they hadn't really done anything to capture before. And so here we are, and actually the one thing that made me realize that was the case is when I was playing online with a bunch of the developers, I guess a week or so before the launch, we're playing this online team mode, and it was kind of weird because you see these pigtails sticking at the back of the helmet, and I was like, well, that's kind of weird, and I figured it just didn't carry my Be a Pro over from the year before, and then I go in afterwards, and I want to alter it because it looked kind of weird. And then I see that it is Lexi Peters, name and everything, and, you know, it's something. I think, you know, Christine, I know you were pretty passionate about the idea of this, you know, being in the NHL franchise and potentially in other franchises down the line in sports games and whatnot. I guess let's talk about your reaction to this, the idea of being able to be a girl in a sports game.
I think it's great. I mean, I know that the world of sports is a real boys club at times, but let's face it. I mean, women's hockey is getting bigger. And as a female gamer, I like to play as a woman. And if there's an option to play as a woman, I'm going to do it. Especially if I like to play hockey and I like to play sports. I don't, you know, want to always default to the guy because, I mean, what does that say about me? Yeah. I like to just play as something I can relate to. And it's like that with any games. I mean, can you imagine if there was an RPG where you could only play as men? Well, that would be
terrible.
You're killing off a huge section of your audience.
Yeah.
And people just want to play games and that they can relate to on that kind of level as
it's
well. It makes it better.
There was the huge story that is a never-ending story as well when you talk about RPGs and Mass Effect and everyone, you know, not everyone, but a good chunk of the male population deciding to create their own Commander Shepherds and just the iterations of what they looked like. It was kind of funny. But the idea that, you know, girls who play, you know, sports games can definitely get in there and make themselves or make another woman or whatever it may be. I think, you know, the idea of that finally being in there is probably an important step. And David Littman, so he's the lead producer for NHL 12. And another thing that he had brought up with Puck Daddy, the Puck Daddy blog on Yahoo Sports, was the fact that there'd be a GM mode was actually based on the classic NES game, Baseball Stars. And I think we've referenced this game several times because this was one of my favorite games growing up. I always played as the monsters, but that was like the first game where you could basically hire and fire players. At that point, I can't remember if there was trading, but I remember when you fired a guy, they'd always do like the sunset background and you'd be walking off with a stick and the hobo bag on it. And that was a game that was very near and dear to my heart growing up, and it's just nice that, you know, they kind of pay tribute to that, and not just the mode itself, but actually acknowledging the fact that, you know, it was an inspiration to them. So so good on that, and just some food for thought. We talked about it last week as well, the idea that we've got copies of NHL 12 to give away, and that is in fact a true thing, and we were under the impression that it was going to be a bit of a long, drawn-out process for you, but thankfully it's been simplified. All you need to do to try and win a copy of NHL 12, and we've got 10 copies, five for both 360, five for PS3. Go to fan590.com, check out the contest section, and give it a click, sign up, and giddy up. I wish you luck, because it was nice that we were able to secure these copies, and I'm certainly happy that we'll be able to share them as well, as you heard last week.
I'm going to try to win all 10. I just want to let our listeners know that. I'm entering to win all 10 copies.
Good luck, Moment. If that were to actually happen, I'd do something devastating to his knees. So don't worry, listeners. We will do our best to make sure you get your copy of NHL 12, and it's certainly worth going out and, you know, a couple clicks for. It's not a lot of work,
Definitely. And
it's a great reward.
Plus, it's the best game of the year.
Yeah,
it's the most popular game of the year, I could say.
I don't know if you could say that either.
In this country, yeah.
I don't know if you could say that either.
Really?
Sports game, maybe, but...
Okay.
If it's going to be the best, I mean, there's
NBA. Well, we all know that Arkham City is going to be the best game of the year.
I think Skyrim, really, I think that's what you meant to say.
I think there's clearly a lot of debate.
Pandora's box is now open.
There's also November 1st with the whole Uncharted 3. I don't know. Maybe
is that coming out this year?
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Battlefield. I mean, they're obviously Assassin's Creed Revelation.
NHL 12 has its place. It's a great game, but I think that statement you made, Moma, may be a little incorrect.
I think it's one of those things where it has to just be up for best sports game, and the one, you know, the reigning champ really is NBA 2K, and
they're coming back with
NBA 2K12, and we've obviously been, you know, bringing you some news from their developers' diaries, and one thing that we have just gotten a couple days ago is the fact that the NBA commish and his deputy are both in the game. For the first time ever, a major sports league commissioner has been captured by voice and animation and put in a video game. In Madden, they had Goodell, and it was just kind of like a picture of him, and it was, you know, handing you the Lombardi trophy, and then you see Obama, who was really zombie Obama. But in this case, you got David Stern in there and his deputy Adam Silver, who went down to the 2K studios, lent their voice to record some tracks, and they also recorded some animations as well, and this is all for the draft for my pro mode, which is kind of cool. It's a nice little feature. And, you know, it is really the little things that make the whole grand shebang that much better. And it's a nice little touch. I mean, the draft in the whole process of the game isn't really all that much, but it's a nice touch. And you get the commission, your studios, that's something.
It's true, because they make these games every year, and every year they're trying to one-up.
What are they going to do for NBA 2K13?
Exactly. That's what I feel like that's a question that Calhoun would ask.
Yeah. As he lifts a finger to me.
It's these little things that make the game better. I mean, obviously adding the commissioner isn't going to make it.
I was giving you a thumbs up, by the way.
There it is, yeah. Weird looking.
Obviously
thumb.
Adding the commissioner isn't going to make the game a 10 out of 10, but it's a nice like additive that makes it different than the last year, and it's kind of fun, and good on the commish for being game. And
don't forget his deputy.
And his deputy.
Adam Silver deserves a little bit of love as well. So while we're still with the NBA vibe, NBA Jam on Fire edition gets a little more badass with Honey Badgers. hopefully you've seen the video. I don't want to say you probably have seen the video, but there was a video that went viral, I want to say probably about 6 months ago, and it was this ridiculous commentator just going over this nature video of honey badgers basically eating cobras and, you know, larvae from bees' nests. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, dude,
having beef with birds.
There you go. And it, you know, it's kind of interesting. And so we all know, going back to the NBA Jam of old, all the unlockable characters are, you know, they're pretty interesting. George Clinton back in the day, you know, the funk master himself.
Bill Clinton.
And Bill Clinton as well. Presidents and you know, politicians are always in there. This year, with the On Fire edition, they're going to have honey badgers in there. I mean, the mascots are always huge as well, and they fit right in. They've got a nice trailer out there that we'll put up on the Got Game blog on fan590.com, which shows the honey badgers in action, basically doing what NBA Jam does best, the big high-flying alley-oop, some blocks in there as well. It's goodness. And honey badgers, yeah.
Honey awesome. Badgers don't care.
They definitely don't care, but I'm sure they're pretty stoked about being in there.
I love stuff like this. I love when developers kind of go off the beat. Because let's face it, NBA Jam is already a game that's off the beaten path as it is. It's not like 2K where it's like the proper game. So why not make it as fun as possible and take some viral stuff and throw it in there? I love the idea.
Yeah, and the good news is when the original game was made, what did you really have to rely on as far as finding that weird pop cultural thing? You didn't have the internet back then. Now, turn on YouTube in 5 minutes, you can find a billion things. I would imagine after this, the next DLC is probably going to be, you know, the two guys from the Lonely Island Band just jamming it down.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. We do have a lot of in-depth coverage from NBA Jam on Fire Edition that we will get to, I guess, a little bit closer to the October launch. And, you know, you talk about the beaten path. A lot of people wanted to beat the previous NBA Jam, which came out. It was, a full-out retail copy, and it was full price, and a lot of people didn't really enjoy that. But this time around, it's going to be a $15 downloadable title for Xbox Live and the PlayStation Network as well. So we'll get you our interview with Trey Smith a little bit down the line. One thing that we wanted to put out there last week that we didn't really have time for is something that, I don't know, are you a big open wheel racing guy? I know you're down with the NASCAR, but
I'm really into the IZOD IndyCar series this year. I haven't always been an open wheel fan, but they're starting to win me over.
Any interest in the F1 2011, I believe it's called?
The game itself, sure, yeah, because last year Codemasters made an awesome game. I never played it, and from what I understand, you know, I made a huge mistake not playing that game.
Are you talking about the F1 game?
Yes, okay. The F1 2010 game. From what I understand, huge mistake not playing that game because I heard it was awesome. So I'm really excited, and I'll be reviewing it this year to see what's going to happen with 2011. But I think the story you're trying to get to is their new co-op championship mode where they're going to have two drivers, two actual gamers can team up, become team members on Team Ferrari or Red Bull or whatever, McLaren, and actually race for the Constructors' Championship, which sounds like a cool idea, but...
And you can do this online, by the way.
Yes, you can do it online, but I see a few problems with it because... Okay, I'm just going to get this out of the way. Let's face it, at some point the game's going to order you to pull over and let your partner win the race. So now that that's out of the way, I can actually be serious and say that I don't know if I'd actually trust anybody online to be my racing partner.
Well, what if you have an actual friend that has the
game? It doesn't have to
be
a random person.
Well, yeah, but I'll be honest. I don't know anyone who owns that game. I mean,
it's not out yet.
I think
I don't know anybody that owns that game either.
Okay, I don't know anyone who owns the 2010 version of it. I think it might be something like...
Maybe if you've got a glowing review next week, and or whenever... Yeah, because it comes out on Tuesday, maybe all of our listeners will decide, you know what? I want a piece of F1 2011. Calhoun, I want to be your friend. Social networking
through video games. Interesting theory.
It happens all the time.
Well, my only concern, though, is that after playing so much NASCAR, the game 2011, is that there is few games out there that the people you play around can really affect you as much as a racing game. Because, let's say, in a first-person shooter, you know, there's someone dominating. They can only shoot you so many times. There's a leaderboard in there. But if you're racing, let's say you're in first place, a bad driver takes you out, and it's your teammate. I mean, this could be like what happened to the Red Bull guys back in 2010.
It's a real-life simulation, really. Yeah. Just behind a wheel, man. It's real life behind that
wheel. I think I'm going to stick to the single-player version, maybe a little single player
online
racing.
Take some chances, Calhoun. Put yourself out there.
I think this is a really neat idea that you can team up with somebody and race a whole season and try to win the Constructors' Championship, because in F1, that is the most important thing. It's more than the individual titles.
It is.
You know what? I want to do a bit of a social experiment right here. If any of our listeners are interested in F1 2011, we want to do a little recruitment process and see who can be a partner of Calhoun's
and go
for the Constructors'
will
Championship.
Race with Calhoun.
This is a terrible, terrible idea.
The email address is gotgame@fan590.com. Don't forget, play nice and let us know if you are interested. As a guy who's a fan of NASCAR, the idea of... Daytona USA coming back. I think we all remember the Sega Classic.
I love that game.
Fantastic arcade game.
I can't stand that game.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
I can't stand it. Because
that was like one of the first games where they had like
fun.
The eight cars side by
it's
side.
It's
almost
a horribly designed game, though, because you can never make it around on one quarter. I mean, let's face it. Arcade games are always
about
sucking.
So what you mean
sucking.
Is it's a brilliantly designed game is what you're trying to say.
If you want to make money, sure. But from the point of the actual game, the fact that I could not get around the track and beat everybody on one quarter always bugged me to the point where I did not want to play that game.
Quarters. I would play like at Dave and Buster's where you use credits, so you have no idea how much money you're actually
spending. Oh, that's so bad.
Yeah.
I remember back in the high school days, we used to drift out of class a little early, so to speak, and we'd go out to Scarborough where everything, you know, open ice was one game where I just put so much cash into, but they did the pricing a little bit different where instead of a quarter a period or whatever it was, 50 cents a period, it was 25 cents. You play the whole game. And if you won, you got to stay on. I don't know how they rigged these things, but it was incredible.
See, I probably would have liked it a lot more if Daytona USA was a little bit more like that. But if they really want to interest me, they should actually bring out, speaking of open wheels, Virtua Racer. That would be the arcade racing game that I'd like to see.
still dealing with Daytona USA. You know, this is something that we get from XBLA fans, which is a great website. From the Australian Ratings Board, it sounds like Sega's Arcade Classic could be coming back. Now, the classification was filed by Sega Australia on the 14th, so just a few days ago. It's said to be an original, so not sure if they're bringing back the original or they're creating a new original, but we'll find out. It's supposedly heading to Xbox Live, as we've seen with old Sega arcade games in the past, perhaps on the PSN as well. We don't know. We do know that right around the corner for Xbox is Gears of War 3. We'll go inside, share some impressions, and talk about a game that is built very similarly to it. We'll see if it's an effective quasi-port with Space Marine. We also have reviews of Dead Island and Gunstringer a little bit later on. This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
We've got game. Do you... In the game.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I'm Zach Cooper, joined as always by Momin Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, and Christine Chubb. So we talked a little bit about NHL 12 once again. If you missed the top of the show, we are giving away 10 copies, 5 on 360, 5 on PS3. All you need to do, go to fan590.com, check out the contest page, click on NHL 12 for your console of preference, and enter to win 10 copies to give away. And as you hopefully heard last week, it's a fantastic game, and you can be a girl in it. So,
yay.
Thumbs up to that. Another huge game, which is coming out on Tuesday, is Gears of War 3, and we've talked about it a fair amount over the last little while. I've spent basically the last week or so playing a good chunk of it, but I've also been playing Dead Island, which I'll review in probably about 20 minutes' time or so. And it was a nice trade-off. And the one thing that I will say about Dead Island, at least as a bit of a teaser, is the fact that I was happy to play it while I had Gears 3 in front of me, I think says a lot about Dead Island. It's definitely not a knock on Gears 3, because I've had a great time with that, particularly with some other journalists doing Horde mode, where we got up to level 39, wave 39, and it's a max of 50, and it was just incredibly intense and tons of fun playing some of the multiplayer. I've only done a small dent in the campaign, and that's why I don't want to review it just yet, but it's a very polished game,
yeah.
And that's one thing that I can't say about Dead Island, but that in its own right is solid. We'll get to that.
And when
they
had that Gears of War launch event last week, I sat there in the back while you were in that tournament just playing for like the first 3 hours of the game.
Someone was saying, they were like, Calhoun's here. I was like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. They're like, yeah, he's in the back playing the campaign. I was like, what the hell? I didn't even know you could do that.
No, and I got through like the first 3 hours. And I will admit that I wasn't excited about Gears of War until I actually got through that first 3 hours, because, you know, the first couple of Gears, it really did not have much depth to it. It was a shallow game.
I think a
game.
Lot of people would disagree with you on that.
I don't know. I don't think there was much
Gears
to that
one
game.
Was pretty awesome. I didn't really play two, but one
beside
was awesome.
The action. Now, the action was great, but I'm just saying that I think the action was the focus of those games. This time, you know, they've touched on a lot of personality. There's
different,
you know,
characters that you're playing as.
Exactly. And they really go into the background of those characters in some really interesting ways. There's a ton of moments I want to talk about, but I'm not going to ruin your review for next week. But there are some really unique and interesting things they do in this game.
Let's go inside the game with Rod Ferguson, who is the director of production for Epic Games. We are talking Gears of War 3 here on Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
I hate to start off with this question, but it's an elephant in the room that has to be asked.
Okay.
There is obviously a few problems with the Gears of War 2 multiplayer.
Mainly matchmaking, yeah.
Mainly matchmaking, okay.
Right.
You guys have done a beta to try and hammer out these issues.
Right.
How confident are you guys right now about the multiplayer aspect of Gears of War 3?
Well, we're very confident. I mean, that's the reason we did the beta. We had 1.3 million players play 20 million matches on the beta with dedicated servers around the world. And worked out a lot of issues. We had some problems. You know, we had a lot of learnings during the beta, which was great, with some being able to figure out where to put dedicated servers and how to optimize our use of them and that kind of stuff. So before the beta, I would have been a little bit nervous, just given our history with 2. But now, after the beta and seeing how where we were able to get that to, we're really excited about it, September 20th.
Now, if we can get into the single-player campaign for a second, amazing ending to Gears of War 2. Where do we find the guys now?
So in Gears of War 3, it's now a 4-player co-op campaign that you can do versus 1 and 2. And basically, it's been a couple of years after Gears 2. The world is tearing itself apart. There's an infection. Essentially, emulsion has infected the planet. It's created this other army called the Lambent, which are these sort of another force to be reckoned with besides the Locusts. But essentially, you find the Gears are on a Raven's Nest class aircraft carrier, and essentially the government's collapsed. The coalition of order governments is no more, and they're not really even a military anymore. They're just basically a collection of friends who are banded together to try to survive out the rest of their days as the planet self-destructs. And so they got this sort of floating city, and so they get attacked early on, and they get this message from kind of beyond the grave from Marcus's dad, and that has some clues to he may have a way to fix what's going on with the planet. And so that kind of begins their journey for the game, where you have to try to find out if Marcus's dad is alive and what information it has and what you actually have to do to kind of to fix what's going wrong.
Now, I'm joined by Rod Ferguson from Epic Games. We're talking Gears of War 3 here on Sportsnet Radio Fan 590. And I played the first two games myself, and I loved them. And I played them on normal difficulty because I'm a journalist and I suck at video games. But from what I understand, the way you guys have retooled Gears of War 3, you probably will suggest that I should be playing on a higher difficulty?
Well, it really depends with your experience with the game. I mean, the thing we really focused on with Gears of War 3 was to try to make it the most accessible version for a new player to get into. That if you've never played Gears of War before, Gears of War 3 is the one to start on. It doesn't necessarily go back to 1. If you go to 3, it's the easiest to get into. And so what we did is we retuned casual and normal to be easier. So casual has actually got an aim assist now in campaign. So when you left trigger aim, it'll actually help align you to the target, say, for new players. And then normal is just a little bit easier as well, because we felt like we'd kind of overshot, and people who were truly casual still felt there was too much challenge in the original two games. So we tinkered with that, and then so for people, we say, if you've played Gears before, we suggest trying hardcore at least. And what's nice is that as you play, you can actually, if you find it too difficult, you can just switch the difficulty and say, oh, I'm going to bring up the pause menu, change difficulty, and then keep playing on an easier difficulty or on a harder difficulty if you're finding it too easy.
Gears of War, the franchise, it has created so many constants throughout the entire industry. For example, I probably started off this question really wrong, but hit Y to focus on something is a mechanic you guys started, and many other developers have picked up on. Now, another thing you guys have started, a lot of people picked up on, is the Horde mode.
Right.
And I understand you guys have made some changes to the Horde mode. What have you guys done?
Well, really, we looked at how people were playing Horde, and the way that people play Horde typically is what they'll do is they'll get on a map and they'll find an area that they want to try to hold up in and defend, and so they'll start working defending that area and planting shields, planting grenades, and kind of making an impromptu base, if you will. And so we looked at that and said, you know, why don't we just enable that more? And so in this version, we actually created the idea of fortifications, where you can pick and build a command post which allows you to build fortifications, and you can put down barriers like spikes or razor wire or laser fences. You can put down turrets, you can put down automated sentries, you can even build a silverback, which is this new mech we have in the game where you can tromp around and kind of its own mobile base. And so that was one aspect of it, of like, let's allow base building. And then we looked at, well, people were talking about the lack of variety in Gears 2, and that it's the same kind of creature flow over the 50 waves, but it's just the map that changes that makes the difficulty different. And so what we really went in with that mindset, we went in and really changed up the variety, where we have kind of five different buckets of creatures that can come in at different times. So in one time you'll be playing the normal Locust, then you might be fighting the savage Locust, then you might be fighting the Lambent, and all kinds of varieties within that. And then a lot of people wanted boss waves, this idea of like, oh, because in Gears 2 there was sort of this cycle of every 10 waves it was a cycle. And so what we want to do is put a boss at the end of that to have that sort of fight for the climax to get to the next section. And so now you can end up, you'll be playing, you could end up fighting a Brumach, fighting multiple Berserkers, fighting the new Lambent Berserker. So there's real, you know, a lot of bosses. And I can go on and on. I mean, we've got stuff.
Please do. It sounds intense. I'm sitting here going, what the heck? I just want to run away. I don't even want to play the game. I'm just going to run away.
Well, see, it's this giant screen of Horde in front of you, taunting you. But, you know, there's also things like we have these mid-wave objectives. So one of the things we didn't want to do with the base is we didn't want people to so hold up and so defend that kind of gets stale. So along as you're playing, all of a sudden we'll offer you a challenge. It says, hey, you know what, if you kill the next seven guys, or if you, during this wave, kill seven guys with a headshot, we'll give you loot. And so and if you do that, you'll get this. These chests will appear, or crates that appear, that'll give you boom shots and more money and extra equipment and that kind of stuff. So they have these little mid-wave challenges along the way that kind of make it more exciting.
That was Rod Ferguson in conversation with Brian Calhoun from X11 talking Gears 3, which is in stores on Tuesday. I'll have my full-out review for you next week, and I'm certainly looking forward to sharing some thoughts. We'll get to reviews of Dead Island and Gunstringer in a matter of moments, but right now, a game that is clearly modeled after the Gears franchise is called Space Marine. It's in stores. Kind of a subdued release, but it is out right now. And Calhoun, you spent some time with Space Marine.
Yeah, a lot of people have actually been making that comparison between Space Marine and Gears of War. And you know what? It's not unfounded because the two have a lot of things in common. But when you get down to the actual core, Gears is more of a tactical game, whereas Space Marine, it's all about the action. It's all about getting you straight in there. And basically, it's a third-person action game that is based on the Warhammer franchise. I'm not going to explain that franchise because there's like 30 years of Warhammer fiction out there. I don't have the time. Basically, if there was a nerd hierarchy, then I probably would put gamers at the top, maybe below them people who own Star Trek DVDs, below them people who own or write Sailor Moon fan fiction, and below them people who play Warhammer. So you can see, you know, that there's a little bit
that
of difference
weird.
In the thing.
Go ahead.
It did get a little weird, but I'm just trying to explain that I wasn't totally sure that our audience would enjoy this game, but actually after playing it for a little while, I realized that anyone could enjoy this game because they didn't take all the Warhammer stuff out, but they made it very subdued. They put it on the background. Basically, this is a generic third-person shooter that focuses on the action.
It's all looks a lot like Gears.
And looks a little bit like Gears. Not totally like Gears, but it looks a little bit like Gears. I can't deny that. This entire game, though, is extremely shallow. We were talking a second ago how deep Gears is getting with their story. This game, story is very shallow. Multiplayer is very shallow. Everything in this game is in service of trying to get you into the action as quickly as possible and just mix it up with these monsters that you're fighting, the enemy of man, as they put in the game. Speaking of multiplayer, there's only two modes. There's a team deathmatch mode, and there's also a team objective mode. There's a handful of maps. Really, the reason you play the multiplayer is because the guns are fun. It's, once again, fun to get in the action. In the end, this game has a few problems. Pacing is its biggest problem. When the game is all about getting to the action, it's really strange that they have large sections where you're just running down corridors, not seeing anybody, not doing anything, just moving throughout the game. There's also a few bugs. Overall, though, it's not a bad game. My suggestion would be that, if you were really looking forward to this game or you have nothing else to play or money's not an issue, I would highly suggest this game because it's a decent game. But,
are so many other great games coming out right now.
Gears of War, Uncharted, Battlefield 3.
Yeah, we don't need to go through all that.
All of them.
Yeah.
This game, it's a good game, but when you put it in this release cycle, it's not really the first game you should look at picking up. It's a very generic game. It's fun, but it's just a very generic shooter. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
All right, 7 out of 10 for Space Marine. We'll see if bugs can plague a zombie slasher demolisher in Dead Island and see what Gunstringer for the Kinect is all about as well. This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I'm Zach Cooper, joined as always by Momen Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, and Christine Chubb. First time the show might be nickname free in its entirety. Just a heads up, if you missed it off the top, we are giving away 10 copies of NHL 12. All you need to do, go to fan590.com, go to the contest section, and click on your console of preference. We've got 5 for 360, 5 for PS3 as well, and giddy up, get in there, make some magic happen. We do have our reviews of Dead Island and Space Marine to come, but first some news out of the Tokyo Game Show, and big news as far as Sony is concerned in that the PlayStation Vita will be out for the holidays, at least in Japan. So Sony announcing that they will have it available on December 17th in Japan. We North Americans are probably still looking at a March release, but they were showing off tons of games, including the Welcome Pack, which I guess comes equipped with it. We saw something similar on the 3DS. Basically, it introduces gamers to the touchpad on the back of the device. They also showed off their augmented reality, their AR, which can utilize cards like the 3DS, but can also be markerless. And they were showing this off with Reality Fighters, which is a fighting game that they demoed where you're basically holding up your Vita and you can fight in terms of the background being whatever it is that you see, which is kind of cool. And it looked good, very high res. Obviously, the graphics look crisp. Not really sure if Reality Fighters is one of the 24 launch titles that were announced for Japan as of their release date on December 17th, but Sony has reiterated its promise that downloadable games or downloaded games from your PSP days will be playable on the Vita. They're still figuring out what to do with the UMD games, but we did see what the cartridge looks like. It's kind of like an SD card with a full-size PlayStation 3 case.
It's giant. It's so unnecessary. Like, yeah. What a waste of plastic.
And it's kind of the exact opposite of what they were trying to do with the digital releases, yeah. Which, you know, took away from...
I'll be honest. You said they're still trying to figure out what to do with the UMD games. I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do with all my UMD games. I have a whole library there sitting in my room, which...
Maybe right you now can just... trade with your F1 2011 team partner.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another thing we're doing as well. If you are interested in playing F1 2011 and being on Calhoun's team, email us, godgame@fan590.com. He's very reluctant about this, but we will get you playing with other humans. It will be an experience. So that's kind of cool about the PlayStation Vita. Some more details coming out about that, and Sony's obviously happy to be able to show off a little bit more at the Tokyo Game Show. Closer to home, some big news with the TIFF Nexus, which has been announced. So during this year's TIFF festivities, obviously the Ontario government, the Toronto chapter of the Hand-Eye Society, Ubisoft, the Digifest organizers, TIFF itself, and a few others came together to announce a new program called... TIFF Nexus, which is basically a support group for creative development in digital media, but they will also have some social gatherings. We see a lot of those in our wonderful city. They call them creative jams, basically brainstorming, networking, all that jazz, all good stuff. Now, according to the TIFF Nexus website, you know, they say their kind of mission statement is TIFF Nexus will support Canada's film, game, digital, and new media communities, as well as foster integrations between academics, industry members, and enthusiasts. TIFF Nexus will bring together members of diverse creative industries to realize the potential of collaborative media through innovative and creative discovery. If you are interested, and we certainly hope you are, check out tiffnexus.net. They're having a public event on September 28th, so you don't want to miss that. Now, a couple of games which you may or may not want to miss, we will be reviewing right now. We'll get to Gunstringer a little bit later on. That's the latest from Kinect, an on-rails shooter-ish kind of game. But first off, I want to kick off with my thoughts on Dead Island, which is a very, very gory, mature title. It's a zombie slasher in the truest form, and it's 18+. And basically, you're set up with Dead Island on Resort Island, where everything has gone to hell, almost literally, where there's an infection and, I mean, whatever. However the zombies came to be, that's what you're trying to figure out. You're trying to find a cure, but mostly you're just trying to kill all the zombies, rescuing some people at the same time. There's really not too much of a story in this game, but there is tons of content. And it's one of those things, a few people were asking me on Twitter, you know, what about Dead Island? What about Dead Island? And, you know, I was really kind of conflicted because this is a game that is so... very buggy. The PC version came out on Steam, and it wasn't even playable. It was an early code that they accidentally released instead of the retail copy. And so they've fixed that now. They've released one patch so far on at least the 360, which is the version that I've been playing it on. And basically, it's a four-player online co-op, nothing local. It's just one player on your own console. But you can hop in, hop out online, and you control one of four characters, each who have their own special abilities. And again, not too much variety as far as the plot line goes, but it's, you know, it's a zombie game, and really you don't require too much depth in these.
From what you're describing, it kind of reminds me of impressions I heard earlier where people said that this game is basically, Left 4 Dead with a just like a weapon creation system. And
yeah,
I was just wondering what you would say to that.
The weapon creation system is definitely, you know, part of what makes this thing. Also, the fact that there's just so much content in this. I mean, I've poured about 30 hours into Dead Island, and right now it's saying that I'm about 60% of the main storyline, and I still have about 8 side missions. And I'm a guy who enjoys side missions, and I think most people who would play Dead Island would be those people as well. You know, there's probably, I'm only speculating, but I'd imagine there's about 40 to 50 hours of content, which is great for RPG fans. With as far as the weapon modification process goes, there's a huge part of a huge part of the combat is the weapon degradation system, where the more you use a weapon, the more, you know, banged up it will be, the less damage it will do, and the different kinds of weapons truly feel like they are different from each other. So you're swinging a bat, you're going to be doing blunt damage, you're going to be knocking back the zombies, and you can, you know, target specific limb points, which drastically affect the zombies' abilities. And that's kind of cool. You're rocking out with a machete, you're slicing off limbs. You know, have you ever gone after a zombie that doesn't have arms, that's just trying to bite you? I mean, that's part of the allure of Dead Island. end. I mean, the combat is so crisp. I will say at the start, I wasn't too impressed with Dead Island. I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, you have the four-player online co-op. You can go at it. You can do it yourself if you want to. And a good chunk of my time with Dead Island was done solo because I joined these games and no one would have headsets. And then it's kind of ridiculous because a lot of this game is based around picking up loot. And if no one's sharing, no one's talking about who's picking up what, it just turns into a big, you know, mass of selfishness. And that's kind of annoying. But I did get into a few games with headsets, and that drastically changed my opinion of the online play. The combat is fantastic. I sort of touched on that as well. There are plenty of different kinds of weapons. You find weapons all over the place. You're starting off with basically canoe paddles. You're getting crowbars, you know, pipes off walls. And then it gets into, you know, some guns, shotguns, automatic rifles and stuff. Ammo is definitely hard to find. And then there's the modification where you find these specs, basically recipes, and you can craft weapons in different ways. You have your base weapon, and then, you know, you'll add zombie meat and barbed wire, and pitter patter, you've got this devastating club of barbed wire zombie meat goodness.
Now, from what I understand, what character you pick will depend on what sort of weapons you should use, or at least your skill of each weapon.
Yeah, there are specialties. So the guy I used is the rapper, who is basically washed up. They give you a little bit of backstory before you start with each of these characters, but really it doesn't make too much of a difference. And there's kind of an awkward blend between other characters referencing the fact that there's four of you and others just, you know, completely ignoring that fact. Like I said, the story...
So wait, you're by yourself and they say, oh...
Yeah, and then in some cutscenes you'll see there's all four characters there. So it's kind of weird.
That is a little weird.
There are definitely oversights, and I do need to wrap up this review. There are oversights. There are lots of bugs. You'll get stuck in polygons. You'll have NPCs that get stuck in walls. And it's just a matter of whether you can overlook that. You know, you start off in this sunny resort, and then it takes you to these dark places, which completely changed the style of game for me. To me, I don't know, it was something about being in the sunshine that made me feel a little bit safer when I'm hunting zombies. But when you get to these rainy atmospheres inside this dark, decrepit city, I think it changes everything entirely, and it gets super intense. If you're playing online with other people, the zombies get more difficult to kill. There are tons of zombies. You won't be overwhelmed too much in the early goings, but as you play into it, I think you'll enjoy it a little bit more. Tons of content in here, and I think that's definitely a singing feature. Originally, I was going to say, you know, rent it, see what you think, but if you're interested in RPGs and you're interested in killing zombies, Dead Island is a nice mishmash of that. The bugs do, you know, create a big setback, and so I need to give Dead Island a 7.5. It's not perfect, but it is tons of fun. So that's Dead Island. Moment, I haven't left you much time. You got a few minutes to talk about Gunstringer, which is the latest for Kinect.
I won't need too long to talk about it. So Gunstringer is a game for Kinect, and it's kind of an interesting concept. Basically, you play as a shooter in the Old West, but you're a marionette. And you control your marionette with your left hand, you move left, right, and you shoot with your right hand, basically. And it's an interesting concept because it's like there's an audience, there's like video of a live audience watching you as you're this cartoon marionette, and they'll interspice the audience at certain times cheering or clapping or going, "Oh," when things happen.
It's supposed to be set up sort of like a play, and you're controlling the marionette character, right?
Yeah, they're watching it. So you control the marionette character, and you're in the Old West, and you're this marionette character who's been wronged, and he's got a wicked look where he's like a blue skeleton with like a red eye, and he's wearing a cowboy hat and like a poncho and cowboy boots. And so you go around, you go through the Old West, and at the beginning you find this picture of all these people who've wronged you, and one's like a inflatable tube man, one's an oil baron, one's this, like, you know, Southern Belle lady, and you got to go through. And it's interesting because you control the character with your left hand, and you have to, like, hold it up like you were holding a marionette, and you move him left and right, and he moves left and right, and you can jump by moving your left hand. And then the right hand is your shooter, and if you raise your arm up, he'll shoot, and if you, like, and then he has a target, and if you just, like, kind of glance it over a character, it'll lock him in target, and then you shoot it. Initially, I thought this game was terrible. But oddly enough, the more I played it, the more I enjoyed it. The levels aren't complicated. They're very simple. It does get a little repetitive, but then they kind of augment that later where they give you different ways to play the game. So it's not just a straight go around, bang, bang, shoot 'em up. There's like a level where you have, there's different types of levels they have where, like, there's kind of like a Donkey Kong level where you're jumping over barrels, and there's shooter levels, and there's like kind of puzzler levels. So it's all mixed together, and they do it really well. And there's a narrator in the game, and he's like a typical, like, "Oh, it was morning in the Old West, and he woke up on his bale of hay and went out looking for revenge." And so
sounds a little bit like Bastion.
A little bit like Bastion, but it's more like kind of sarcastically over the top Old West type. The more I played this game, the more I enjoyed it. It's really straightforward. It's kind of fun. The controls are okay. All in all, I would give this game actually a 7 out of 10. I kind of enjoyed it by the end of it all.
All right, that is Gunstringer, which is available now for the Kinect, and one of the features that comes with when you get that game is you get Fruit Ninja Kinect as well. And that, I mean, we talked about that before. That's definitely a lot of fun that you want.
I'm going to smash your records to bits, by the way.
Did you?
Well, I'm going to. I haven't done it yet.
Did you unlock any of those random commentaries? Because I hear a lot of like groups outside the developer made these commentaries to the game.
Yeah, the more you play, the more you can unlock random stuff like pictures and stuff and commentaries.
Sounds awesome. That's Gunstringer. And you gave it a 7 out of
10? 7 out of 10.
I gave Dead Island a 7.5. Space Marine got a 7 from Calhoun as well. Next week, we'll have our reviews of Gears of War 3. Calhoun's looking for a friend in F1 2011. We'll have that review as well. We're looking for a friend for Calhoun. Sometimes it comes upon the parents to make that happen as well.
I just wanted to say, if you're listening to this show on Sunday, it's Christine Chubb's birthday.
They're not listening to this show on Sunday, unless they're listening to the podcast.
Oh, that's true.
Happy birthday, Christine Chubb!
Happy birthday to me.
Yes, it shall be a lot of fun, and congrats for making another year.
You can donate to the Got Game Extra Life.
Do your page in particular.
Do my page in particular.
Donate to Christine Chubb. She needs a little help. Just a reminder, we've got NHL 12 copies to give away, 10 of them to be specific. Check out fan590.com and enter the contest page. Enter for your console of preference. We got 5 for 360, 5 for PS3. We want you to win a free copy of NHL 12. Again, Gears 3 next week, F1 2011 next week. Plenty more to come as well. We'll have some FIFA 12 chatter. For Momin Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, and Christine Chubb, I'm Zach Cooper. This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.